This morning, I've been delegated to lead in preaching. As you might have noticed, a whole lot of people are missing today. We did go to the beach yesterday to visit these people, and it was quite a wonderful time to be there. So I'm here. I'm all of a backup preacher. As you can notice that Peter Benson is here too. And when I saw Peter Benson, I thought I missed my instruction that maybe he's the one preaching. He taught me not. But I might also have to say I'm using Peter Benson's microphone today. So I need to sound a little bit bass. I don't want to waste much of your time today. As you might notice, they've led two of the talkative people to lead today, Shoba and I. So what I did today, I'm wearing this watch. This watch is 5 to 7 minutes in front because African time is a challenge. So I'll be using this watch to catch up with your time. I want to get back to a place today where we find ourselves and just look at our spiritual journey. When we accept to follow Christ, we start a very long, to some might be short, but in most cases it's a long journey because the Bible is very clear about this path to the kingdom. It's very narrow. It's not an easy one. We find a whole lot of challenges. But there's one principle in the Bible that also gives us an understanding of what kind of a journey we are on. And it's a warning that is coming from 1 Peter 5, verse 8. And as you might understand as Christians that in life we're given warnings in a whole lot of aspects. We give warning to our children. We give warning to our spouses. We give warning to our colleagues. As a boss, you might give warning to your workers. But also as Christians, we're given a warning. And this is quite a stern warning, I might say. I wanted just to read that verse, but I want to just go a little further and read from 1 Peter 5. I want to start from verse 6, just to give us an understanding on why this kind of a warning is given to us as Christians. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 starts by saying, humble yourselves. If you go backwards, you'll understand that this principle was to the young people about respecting the elders. But in 6 it says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. While you will throw all your anxiety, I think let me read that one back. While you throw all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Now, verse 8, this is a warning. Keep your senses. Some Bible says, be of sober mind. Your enemy. Now there's an enemy. Some Bibles, they say adversary, right? Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking to devour. I was struggling with this word. devour. It says devour someone. Now, I was quite interested in this verse with three words. The first one is the enemy. It's picked out from this verse. And then there is a word that says seeking, looking out. But then there's a strong word that says devour. Devour. Sounds French. So I had to look it up. Google, encyclopedia, and then Oxford Dictionary. The meaning of this word, devour, is more leaning towards food. So you see the picture of a woman devouring a burger. I think it's a wrap or a burger. But it means consuming something, swallow, eat up, hungry. I got some strong words there, like very bombastic words we call them, velociously and ravenously, like to consume destructively, recklessly, or wantonly. But I want to simplify that. It says to eat something eagerly and large amounts so that nothing is left. As a warning, we are given that the devil himself is coming for us. It's quite a strong warning. And we do get excited as Christians when we receive Christ, we accept Christ, because now we are under his wings, the Almighty, the one and only powerful God. But there comes the warning. You're not safe. It's coming for you. So there's a heat in the world. The world says, better the devil you know than the one you don't. And as we go through this, I don't want you to take the principle that says, keep your friends close and your enemy closer. This is not the enemy you keep very close. In understanding the meaning, you also understand how the devil is so angry and hungry at the same time to destroy us. And there has to be a reason why. So we did a bit of a digging. Before this enemy, the devil, came on earth, he was in heaven. And Ezekiel and Isaiah, the prophets, they give us an understanding of what kind of angel this devil is. He was created, of course, by God. He was right here in heaven, his name being Lucifer. Now, Lucifer is quite an interesting name because it means the morning star, the shining one. So we see that Lucifer as a created being was specifically an angel with extreme beauty. He was in charge of beauty. He was wise and very powerful. He was considered as being highlighted in Ezekiel 28, 12 to 18 as a seal of perfection. And he was entrusted with very important roles in God's heavenly realm. So that's the background of this enemy that coming down for us. He was right there with God as an angel of beauty, pride, wisdom. But then what happened? What happened to the devil with all these extremely important roles that he had next to God? Revelation 12, verse 7 to 12. does give us an understanding of how he fell from his position. It says, Lucifer's pride and ambition led him to desire the equality, to be equal to God. Remember, he was created, but now he wants to be equal with the Creator. Now that sparked this rebellion among some angels. The devil, Lucifer, did not just rebel against God alone. There were a few angels that helped him. So this rebellion resulted in Lucifer being cast out of heaven and becoming known as, so he loses the name Satan, the Lucifer, he becomes Satan, which means adversary, an opponent, or a tempter. Now he's down here. He's been chased away from heaven, grew up wings, and this is what we do sometimes. And we see this, that beauty, pride, and wisdom can affect us as people. This started with the devil, known as the morning star. Now he's an opponent, an accuser, and of course an adversary. We read this in Ezekiel 28, verse 17. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. He wanted to be like God. And then he's down here, right here with me, with you as well, right next to your houses, right next to your children, to your spouse. The devil is right there, roaming around. He's fallen. Now he becomes corrupt. His name changed from morning star to an enemy, and his power became completely perverted, as given this scripture, Isaiah 14, 12, 16, 17, you read the account of what happened after the fall. I don't want to dwell much on this enemy, but I want us to find ourselves in a place where we understand the enemy. Because if you do not know your enemy, you will never defeat your enemy. You need to identify this enemy. Because the devil comes to you because he wants you to be on his side. Remember what he's trying to prove from the beginning. Comes to Eve and says, did God say? He knew exactly what God said. He's wise. And then he presents beauty to Eve. He says, just look at the fruits. And Adam and Eve, they say, the fruit looked so good. It was so appealing. It presents beauty. And then what happened? He wants you on his side. He got Eve and Adam on his side. They rebelled against God, just the way he did in heaven. But this is what he wanted exactly. He wanted to destroy the future of humanity. The eternal life was lost. At that point of siding with the devil. But also he was trying to spiritually disconnect humanity with the Father. Remember, when we accept Christ, we are reconnecting with God. And he's continuously trying to disconnect us by doing what? By lying to us. A whole lot of stuff is presented to us. Beautiful stuff. Just remember this. He was an angel of beauty. There's a lot of information that is against information that you know about God and your Jesus Christ, because he was the angel of wisdom. He knows how to twist the truth, right? And there's ultimate goal that the devil, the enemy, wants to achieve, and that's to regain what he wanted in heaven. He wants to be the God, equal to God. So he's coming after his creation. I might call it, forgive me, an easy target. Because on our own, we are the easy target. That's why I was so touched when I saw that you're doing Battle Belongs. Because it's a surrender moment. When we're dealing with the devil, the battle does not belong to us. All what we can see are the mountains, the challenges we see. I mean, when you wake up, tell me, guys, what you see are the challenges. You know how much we stress? I don't know you, but just the fact that I'm gonna go to Pine Town, I'll stress, because what I'm seeing are the challenges of walking around Pine Town with my phone. Do you know that I stress when I have to go to Joburg? I'm in that CBD. Last time I went to Joburg, we were trying to book an Uber, and someone came and said, nah, don't worry. And when we arrived in Kempton, with the same Uber price, and we were going to Cape Town Park, and when we arrived in Cape Town Park, we paid way more money and nothing we could do. It was the devil. He said, I'm going to give you the best, but what happens? But I'm saying this because the battle we are against, or the battle we are fighting as we walk on this spiritual journey, is not up to us to win. We need the power, the higher power to be on our side. So I just want to give you a little understanding of how we can understand and identify the devil, because this is important in our Christian life. The first thing is that when you go home, please read 1 John 3:7-10. I'm using different time, so I'm not going to read these verses. But in identifying the devil, we need to understand he comes very caring and loving. Oh, the devil comes very nice. Says to Eve, did God say you shouldn't eat that fruit? Did the same with Jesus. Jesus is so hungry. After 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, he came so caring and so loving. He says, you are the Son of God. In actual fact, he's trying to deceive Jesus. If you are the Son of God, you shouldn't be hungry, caring and loving. A friend in need is a friend indeed. That's how he comes. The devil. He comes as God himself. The solutions that the devil is providing to humanity are the solutions that God has provided, but he does it as if he is in control. God wants us to prosper in life, and the devil, what does he do? He knows you want to prosper. He knows you want good for your children, for yourself. And he provides these quick solutions. He's an imposter. I can say that today. He is posing as if he is, but he's not. There's an account where Jesus tells Peter, get behind me, Satan. Because he can come to you via your close friends, by the people that you trust, he is a liar. So what should we do as Christians? How do we know we can survive this enemy? The Bible is very clear. It says, watch out and stay awake. Be prepared and well equipped. Luke 21 verse 36 says, but stay awake all times. All times. Which is difficult because we have to sleep. But spiritually, stay awake all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. That's the first thing that you need to do. Stay awake. Be watchful. And also, believe and trust in God. The battle belongs to God. In James 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves. Submit yourself then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So the only way, you need to be on God's side. And the devil is not going to hang around where God is. They don't go together. The devil wants you alone, and that's when he strikes. In that corner, he whispers very, 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 very slowly to you. And also we need to understand where we are in this journey. Let's understand and be honest about where you are spiritually. Pray and know your spiritual gifts. Some of us, we are on this journey and we are doing a whole lot of stuff. And we find ourselves so busy. And the same journey that other people are enjoying, because we're going towards the God's kingdom, it becomes a journey that weighs you down. And the devil wants you to feel like you're so tired. Identify your spiritual gifts. If you go to 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, it talks about each one of us having a spiritual gift. Let us focus on those spiritual gifts. Identify them. Because if then you do what God impacted on you, empowered you with, you will enjoy this journey. That's why you have people that said, I'm going to do this. Even when everybody's gone to the camp, I'm going to play the drums. Tracy said so. And Mr. Paul said, I'm going to strum that piano. I'm going to do my thing there. Bronwyn was very brave because her voice has to do the lead, the harmonies, everything. But it worked out. They identify their spiritual journey. We've got people back there doing their sound, and Paul is clicking stuff there. And I identified mine. I said, I'm going to preach. Each one of us here has got a spiritual gift. The devil wants us to believe that we can't. But with God, we can. Know that you're not alone. That's very important. I will still come back to that song. You're not alone. Battle belongs to him, Almighty. Matthew 28, verse 20, just before Jesus was about to ascend, he says this, and surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. You started this journey. There's a finish point. Along this journey, a lot of people have fallen because they didn't take heed of this. I am with you to the very end. Jed, I'm excited. My watch is after 10. That's before 10. That's good. But this is what my mom and other elderly people taught me. Avoiding is better than cure. Some of us, we want to hang out with the devil first and see what's happening there. But being a Christian is so profound because we are forewarned. We know things that are going to happen. Before Jesus was born, 600 years back, there was a prophecy. And there's a lot of prophecies that came into fruition. Some of them in Revelation are still going to happen. This is one thing that is going to prompt us to avoid. This warning we get in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, be watchful, which means avoid. Avoid. Right? I've got a colleague at work who at some point always wanted me to go and give her a lift because she's not used to go in public transport. The skin color is not like mine. So there's always a fear of taxis. So I would go and fetch her, not far away from Kloof, around there in Pinetown. And as we drive, because I had to go down Fields Hill and come up like that, as we were approaching the robots in Pinetown, she would make sure the windows are closed. She would check the doors. And I was like, okay, what's going on? And say, hey, you have to be careful. Don't keep the windows down. Avoiding is better than cure. You know? And our Christian life also calls us into that place where there is a lot of stuff we need to be staying away from. And in order to do that, we need to know our scriptures. Guys, we need to read the Bible. I brought the Bible. I've got the whole thing here, but I've got the Bible because I need to know the scriptures. Jesus avoided or dealt with the devil because he knew his scriptures. He's a son of God, but he was using the scriptures to fight the devil. All the three temptations. He's like the Bible, the scripture says, it is written. At that point, he was looking into the Old Testament because this is the beginning now of the gospel. But now he says, it is written. You shall not. Yet the devil still tells us, you can do it. So fight the devil with the scriptures. And please, I ask you, I beg you, stay committed. It's not easy. This journey is not easy. Stay committed. Matthew 25, verse 21 says something about the faithful servant. If you go back, please read that one. My watch is telling me something else. 1 Kings 8, verse 61 says, may your hearts be fully committed to the Lord, our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commandments as this time. And I'm going to give you this from the book of James White. Cut the devil loose and stay away. cut him loose. He's always stiffening. You see the scripture says seeking, right? And seeking means he's always right there. Cut him loose. Matthew 5, verse 30 will help us. It says, and if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. Don't do that, but there is a meaning to it. And throw it away. It is better to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. Some of the people affecting us to be hanging out with the devil are the people that we regard as important in our life. Cut them loose. There are habits in our lives that are causing us to always be hanging out with the devil. Cut them loose. That's what it's saying. And Ephesians 6 verse 10 gives us an understanding. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. In this battle that belongs to God, he has equipped us with the armor. Put on that armor, right? We cannot do this alone. I just wanted to encourage you this morning. We've got the enemy. We've experienced the enemy. But we can't do it alone. We've got a backup. And the strongest backup you can ever have, God himself. And I wanted to just give you a hint. Maybe we hear these words from God and we don't do anything. Action plan. I wanted to give you an action plan. In this church, we've got small groups. Please join some of these small groups. Different ages, different times, different days. I know some of y'all are busy. But check out the board. Annie, my good lady, is here. You're doing the small groups. Please speak to Annie. Join a small group. First action plan. Find a place to help others. We know we do nation changes once in a year, but there's always a chance to help someone. Always a chance. My good friend here, Ronald, I'll put you on the spot. You're in the front. He always comes to support us at the shop where we sell things called fish and seafood. He could ask for some stuff. I feel good when I help you, even when you're paying your money. Find a place to help people in the church, outside the church. Look for someone to mentor. My good friends, Sakile, I'm going to put you on the spot. I did went through the journey of mentorship with Sakile here. I'm glad you came when I was I'm preaching today. Find someone to mentor. If you don't know how to mentor people, Peter Benson knows a whole lot about that. Speak to him. Keep on going and keep on praying. That's where I'm going to finish today. Keep on going on this journey and keep on praying. God is always with you. Let us pray.